On today's episode, Mike and Ryan talk about the beers they wish they can brew. Cheers. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Brewers in Law podcast, where beer is thicker than water. In this podcast, join us as we embark on a journey of discovering home brewing, craft beer, and more. As always, I am Mike, and I am here with my brother-in-law, Ryan.
Howdy.
How are you doing, Ryan?
I'm doing great. I am terrified of the beer I'm brewing because I think it might kill us. It's so strong, but...
Oh, it's not that strong. What did you say? You're expecting around 8%?
8.5%, yes. For a stout, actually. Honestly, like, I looked up online, and like they said, stouts, like traditional stouts back in the day, because they're supposed to be stronger, are usually 7 to 8%.
Yeah.
But most stouts you find now are usually about 5 to 6%.
Yeah. But I mean, like, take like a Russian Imperial stout, gets into like almost like borderline wine territory.
I know,
you
know, right?
Those are ridiculous. So I don't think it'll be too bad. And we are, this is episode 2 of our recording session. We just recorded the Irish Complexion episode, and that is a wee boy at what, 2.5%, and I'm sitting here sipping that now. So
you'll be able to drive home very easily after.
Yes, exactly. So you know, if you have one, once they're both ready, if you have one stout and you're feeling it, you can just switch to the other beer for the rest of the night.
There you go. It's a balance.
It's all about the balance. Yeah, exactly. So Ryan and I are both amateur home brewers, and we are excited about beer and home brewing. On Brewers in Law, don't expect us to act as authority figures. Rather, we'll just be sharing our experiences with you, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we hope that you'll share with us so that we can all learn and grow and enjoy this wonderful hobby together. So with that, let's dive right into the first sip. As the discussion topic for today is all about our kind of dream brews, the beers that we really respect, that we think are, you know, essentially perfect, that are great drinking experiences consistently, and that we wish we could brew. We're going to take this the 180 complete opposite direction. I want to hear about the worst drinking experience you have had, either with a beer or with another beverage of any kind.
So I have two that are right up there. So they're pretty much the same exact stories that just tarnished the restaurant I was at. I won't say restaurant names. I'm not gonna throw anyone under the bus. I worked in restaurants, so it's not the restaurant's person sometimes, and they just don't know what they're doing. So the first one, I was at a restaurant, and my wife and I ordered margaritas. We love margaritas, and I always say no salt. I hate salt on the rim. I hate getting that little bit of salt on the bottom and then like salt water.
It's delicious.
It is.
But continue.
So I always say no salt. So I said no salt, and I got this margarita and I took a sip and I thought I drank ocean water.
Oh no.
On the bottom of the glass, you could see just salt particles.
Wait, in the margarita?
In the margarita, because I drink from the straw, so it's like on the bottom of it, and the little margarita glasses where it all bottoms out.
Oh, so you were getting like
the saltiest of salt.
I was imagining like a margarita glass. Man, they say that alcohol dehydrates you, I guess.
I know.
So in that case, you probably like take a sip and you could visibly see your skin prune up.
No, literally. So, and I'm a Navy brat, so I grew up on different parts of the ocean. I've drank my fair share of ocean water on accident, and usually doesn't bother me.
And this
bothered me. So
it's all about expectation. If you swallow some water in the ocean, you know what you're getting.
True.
You were expecting a delicious margarita.
So I worked in a restaurant, and I hate sending things back just because I know it's a pain. But I sent it back. I'm like, this is salt water. I literally said, this is salt water. Can you have them remake this again? It came back. It was slightly less saltier. And I just like, you know what? I'm just going to drink it. I don't know who's bartending right now. Apparently doesn't know what they're doing. So just drank it, consumed it.
Apparently the bartender didn't show up and they had to throw someone else in.
Clearly, yes. The other end of that, another side, similar sort of that was, we were at another restaurant and I ordered an old fashioned. Simple drink, classic drink. Most bars know how to make this, except this bar. Because instead of simple syrup, I think I'm not sure what they did. I think they added sour mix.
That's not even close
to it. Not even close.
That's called a whiskey sour, and it'll give you a heck of a hangover.
It did. So, like, I literally, like, looking at it, I didn't think what it was. So, I took a sip. I was like, puckered face, and I was like, what is this?
See, I at least like a whiskey sour. If I was anticipating an old fashioned, though, I think I would be upset.
Yes. So, this one I didn't send back. I consumed it. And
did it get better once you knew what you were getting into with each sip?
I'm not a fan of whiskey sours, to tell you the truth. So, like, it did not. I drank it, but we were only there for drinks that time. I think even the margarita night, we were just there for drinks too. We're just kind of doing a little nightcap before we went home and kind of chilled and watched TV on a Friday night or something. And I think we left there and we text actually my wife's parents, because they're in that same area, like, hey, I need something to make up for this horrible drink. Can we come over and have a couple drinks?
Right.
They, of course, said yes. So
we know that your stuff is trustworthy.
So, yeah, what about you?
Okay, yeah. So I've got a couple as well. I just have a recent one that has stuck with me. And it wasn't the drink per se. It was the drinking experience. So I have a Keurig. And something about this last batch of K-Cups that I got for it, like, I have this little K-cup recycler where you can cut the plastic part off to recycle it. And if you look in there, there's like a paper basket, like a coffee filter.
Okay.
So in this one, the coffee filter didn't adhere all the way. So there's like one, cause I took it apart afterwards. So like there's this one whole wall of the K-cup where like the filter wasn't adhered to like the ceiling. So the grounds were not trapped in there. So I didn't realize this, but like when I made the K-cup, like, it was just like a ton of grounds were just spilling into my coffee. And of course, it's like the morning and I can barely function. I just take it off and take a big sip. And like, I just like, I swallowed like, it was like a tablespoon of grounds. It felt like it was like, I had to run over to the sink and spit it out. Like, I've gotten a little bit of, I have a French press. So like, I'm used to a little bit of grounds, but this was like, You couldn't have even chewed through it. Like, it was, oh my Lord. Unpleasant.
Oh, that's funny.
But I do have a beer answer too. We were up in like Traverse area and we went to this cidery. I don't remember the name, but regardless, the cidery was actually really, really good.
Okay.
So it's not them, but they did this nice thing where like there's a homebrew club and they would feature like beers from the homebrew club there. They just had like growlers of it or whatever. And so we tried this lavender beer. Sounds interesting, right? But it was so lavendery. It was like someone had made a smoothie out of lavender flowers. Like, you know, it was like, or like that you'd eaten a candle or something. Like it was awful. It is the single worst beer I've ever had. And I think Haley considers it the worst beer she's ever had too. It was just like, ooh, the fifth ingredient gone wrong.
Well, it's funny you say that because I'm actually thinking of doing a lavender, and you're going to give me the eye roll. You guys are going to hear the eye roll with this. A lavender, like, White Claw seltzer.
Okay, well, have fun.
I know. I knew you were going to say that because I know you're not a huge fan of the White Claws and all those other seltzer drinks.
Well, you know, Haley and I have talked about it. Like, I think there's... This is a kind of a tangent, but like, I like, I don't hate vodka sodas. I don't really order them, but like, I love gin and soda.
Yes.
And I don't, and I love LaCroix. So I think there's something about the fact that they actually ferment those. Like, I feel like if you just made a hard seltzer where you just like flavored some water and sterilized it and added some vodka to it, I think I'd like that.
Well, actually, when I was doing my initial research for this, I haven't put anything together yet, but there's two ways of doing it. So you can do like a carbonation way and everything else. The other way is you literally take vodka and you keep adding water to it till you get to that ABV that you want.
See, that's
so you the water way, down. You water okay, down vodka.
If much. That's what you do, I will try that.
Yes, that's honestly why I end up.
I have long believed that it's like the fermentation process coupled with the fact that there's like nothing to, it's like just water, a tiny hint of fruit, and then like yeast character essentially. Yeah. And I feel like that is the flavor that I'm getting that seems gross in there. So I would love to test it. I'm not against using like flour ingredients. I've actually thought about, I read somewhere, it was like a recipe for like a raspberry hibiscus sour. Ooh. And that's like a beer, sour beer.
Oh, yeah, still.
That sounded delicious. Mm-hmm. I would love to try that. So I will go in with an open mind.
Yes. Well, just, see, most flavors, when you do just those...
Just use a light touch.
I will. No, I will.
Use a light touch.
No, I will. Because like usually with those, with all lavender. Those things, like it's all citrusy, it's all fruit and everything else. Like lavender has a nice... Like still good flavor to it. It's kind of like, almost like
it's a
cucumber.
It's a distinctive flavor, but it's not that like citrus or berry, which is what
it's still refreshing as long as you don't go overboard with it.
And actually the hibiscus LaCroix is like maybe the best one. It is delicious.
I actually finally bought some.
That like, I think proves the rule that like those flower flavors can work in.
You just gotta have the right touch.
In like seltzer water and sparkling water. Yeah. So, but that is neither here nor there. Yes. So, let's proceed on to the main topic.
Well, hold on. I got some listener feedback.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I know.
Okay, go ahead.
This is new. This is first time having listener feedback.
We're just starting to have listener feedback trickle in. So.
So the first one is from Sue Burns, friend of ours. And she simply said, you two are great together. Exclamation point.
Aww.
And I love it. It
like
makes me
Jack
feel better.
Like Coke.
Exactly.
Like salt and pepper. In the bottom of a margarita glass.
pepper in a margarita. There's someone out there that likes pepper in a margarita. I probably would. Yeah, you probably would, actually.
I like jalapeno pepper.
Yeah, I'm about to say, you love the jalapeno pepper.
Stay on topic.
All right. And the next one is a friend of mine, actually, I used to work with. His name is Eric Stoner. Yes, that is his real last name. Mm. And he just simply said, that was awesome, dude. Great job. I mean... I haven't talked to him in years. He actually moved down to Ohio, so...
That's so fun. Well, if this podcast becomes, like, a reason that you, like, get to reconnect with, like, people that you haven't seen in a while,
absolutely.
That is a huge side benefit.
Absolutely,
that's awesome. Cheers to that.
Cheers to that.
Thanks, buddy. Mm-hmm. Thanks for listening.
All right, now, let's dive into this topic. So...
Okay, let's dive in.
Our topic today is dream brews. Now, we kind of had different opinions on this.
Yeah, I think we've determined we had complementary but slightly different definitions of this. So
my end of it, and I think this does encompass half of yours, but you had a little bit extra. Mine is like a beer that we wish we could brew. It just whatever we wanted to do that is the beer we want.
So basically, like if I we're gonna do a list of four. So mm-hmm. if I were to come to your house and you had a four tap system and I'm your friend, Eric Stoner, was it from out of town that you haven't seen in a while? And I was trying to show off my brewing. These are like the four beers that you want to just have nailed that would like blow somebody away.
Especially at least one always on tap. Like one of these beers always on tap to blow their minds.
But like in your like your dream bar here, since these are dream beers, these would be like your top four. Like, you know, like at a normal brewery, they've got like their... The four beers that they always have,
yes.
And then they've got their experiments, mm-hmm. right? Okay, so for me, it was slightly different. I looked at this as like commercial beers that I consider perfect. Like there's a, this will be review for you, Ryan, because we just talked about it before we recorded. But like I read a lot of music news, and one of the sites that I'll go on sometimes is Pitchfork Media. And they do this cool series called like the song blank wishes they'd wrote. So they'll take someone... who's already like a star in their own right. Mm-hmm. And they kind of, it's an excuse to ask them about their influences. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, what is the, you know, I literally am blanking on like every band.
David Bowie?
David Bowie would like have written the song that someone wished they wrote. But yeah, like, for some reason, the only person I can think of is Grimes, you know, like, Elon Musk's, wife or girlfriend or whatever. I don't even like her music, but like, they do like the song Grimes wishes she wrote. And then like, it gives her a chance to talk about her influences. So that was kind of how I looked at it. I don't even know that but you could at least safely say that these are all beers I would love to have a perfect clone of.
Yes. And I do have a couple of those. So,
okay. So
I'm going to let you go first.
So yeah. So I guess just, in terms of structure, we are going to have, we're going to have four beers. I think given the length of the intro, Ryan, let's do our first one each and then take a break and then do three.
Yeah, we're doing okay on time.
Are we about
15-ish.
Well, then we'll do two and two. Good. And then I personally have some honorable mentions. And if there's time at the end, maybe you can just sort of talk about, maybe we can sort of flip definitions at the end and say like, okay, well, if I looked at it your way.
Yeah.
But Ryan, why don't you start us off?
Oh, I'm okay. So my first one is simply a nitro beer. And the main one that I want to do is a Guinness, obviously. That's the clone I would love to make. But on top of it, just being able to nitronize a beer. Like, I know I know you're hoping to do that because you're going to make a Guinness clone.
We found a liquor store near us that will change out. I get CO2 cylinders from them, and you can get Guinness gas cylinders from them.
I wonder if Tracking Me would let me do that. That's where I usually get my gas.
Possibly. I don't know. It's worth asking. I don't know. I mean, it would be a matter of whether they have them or not, but I don't know.
But like, I would love, like, my first love of a beer, my first beer that I loved was Guinness. And everyone always looked at me funny when I said that because they're like, oh, it's such a heavy beer. I go, no,
it's not, though.
Not at all.
You are looking at it and not drinking it.
Exactly. Like my stepdad, before he passed, like, one of the things he used to say to me all the time was, you eat your Guinness. I'm like, no. I love you. Yeah. I love you, but no, you don't. I
wonder if that has something to do with, because they did like a marketing thing way back in the day where it was like, you know, it's good for you. It's got, you know, it's got carbohydrates. So I feel like Guinness did like some sort of maybe it wasn't just them, but I swear there was like a time when like they'd market their beer that way where it was like, oh, it's like a way to get, you know, good calories for your day out on the farm.
But like they in Ireland, they do Guinness drinking contests. Like that's, you'll just chug Guinnesses and it goes, and like they do like a whole bunch of like more than I could ever do.
I once lost the chug off drinking a can of Bud Light to a seasoned, you know, probably 55-year-old dude who was drinking a tall boy of Guinness, like one of those like 16-ounce cans.
Yeah,
and I had a 12-ounce Bud Light. He smoked me. I was in college, so you know, I thought, oh, you know, I'm so good at this. It was really emasculating. It was probably good for me.
Yeah, knock you down a few pegs. But like, I would love to. Like, I mean, you can do it, obviously, like where you guys are working on, to do it into the kegerator itself. But the other way is doing it. Like, I don't know if you actually can buy this like as homebrewers, but like, Guinness does the cans and the bottles where you have the little spigot that drops down.
The little like widget thing that like cracks open and
it drops in and everything.
Dude, I've never looked into whether you can buy those.
I don't know if they do. I have not looked this up. I feel like I should have for this episode, but
no, I have always found that seems to work way better in cans, like in Guinness cans, than it does in bottles.
No, agree. Actually, I bought some Guinness cans. No, not Guinness cans. It's a local brew that they did a raspberry vanilla porter, so slightly different, but they had the little widget in there. Yeah. So that's my first one. And while you go through your next one.
Guinness is actually on my honorables list. It's not on my top four, but that is, we are going to be trying to effectively make a Guinness clone in early 2021, probably.
Yeah.
Because that is Haley's like probably favorite beer. And I do too perfectly. Like for what it is, it is like, they've just nailed it. It's perfect. So this is, depending on where you live, a seasonal one for me, but my number one, as a surprise to no one who knows me, is Oberon.
So, we know
Oberon,
this.
Is made by Bell's Brewing out of Comstock, Michigan. Bell's is fairly well known. You may have heard of their Two-Hearted Ale, even if you can't get Oberon around where you live. Just to give some context, like I know in kind of evergreen places like Florida and California, they distribute Oberon year round. But in Michigan, it is like the harbinger of spring. So they release it. They have like a release date every year. It's a seasonal beer that goes out. You know, they make it like through the spring and the summer and then they stop. And like bars everywhere, even like into Ohio, throw these like Oberon release parties where they tap the keg and
that's how you know spring's here.
Yeah. And it really is for me. Like I have like an, like a specific music album I listen to and Oberon is what I drink. Like on the first, it's like, it has become a ritual for me. Like, it's Helplessness Blues by Fleet Foxes and an Oberon, like the first nice day of the year, assuming Oberon's out by then, I have to sit out in the backyard and just enjoy the weather and do that. And it really, like, that's the first thing that makes me feel the spring.
Now, for those, I'm just gonna cut in real quick. For those who don't get Oberon, I'm gonna help you out. The closest, I know you could probably give me a look of this, like disgust. The closest you can probably get to it through most throughout the country is probably Blue Moon. It's still it's a wheat beer. I mean, yeah, it's got like, the orange zestiness, but it's nowhere near.
Same.
Yeah,
they're not the same.
It's as close as you're gonna get.
And actually, yeah, like so, it's an American wheat ale. Yeah. You can find a lot of craft breweries make really good ones. If you're anywhere near Three Floyds, which is like kind of a legendary brewery mm-hmm. out of Illinois,
yeah.
Their Gumball Head is also an excellent American wheat ale. Different from Oberon, but really good. So yeah. That's the style. But it just like they say on the can, it tastes like a sunny afternoon or something like that. And it does. It's like kind of got a fruity, like they use a house yeast that, so it's a four ingredient beer. There's no fruit in it at all. And unlike a Blue Moon, which is a wit beer where they kind of lean into the spicing and mm-hmm. their, you know, orange peel and stuff. This doesn't actually have any of that, but it gets that flavor from the hops and the yeast.
Yeah.
And it is just, that's really the best way. Like it's pretty light, but it's not as light as, I don't know, something like an American lager, but so like it's got good body. It's kind of naturally cloudy because of the wheat and the yeast.
All the vitamins.
And it is just delicious. It just tastes like this sort of nondescript, like wonderful, weedy, fruity summer flavor.
And you could talk about this for hours.
I know. honestly, I probably, we've talked about this. Like I kind of am scared to clone it And Bell's actually is cool enough to like publish a clone recipe,
mm-hmm.
like because they know that, you know, they're like, hey, if you live somewhere where you can't get this, like it's really cool of them. But for me, it's like if I didn't nail it, I would just not drink that and I would continue buying actual Oberon.
Well, probably the main thing that, and I don't think they probably give it away, is the yeast. So,
no, but you can culture out a bottle.
You can, yes.
Which is what I would love to try it sometime. But I'm nervous because that's like maybe the one beer where like if I got close on a Guinness clone, would happily drink that beer. If it was May in Michigan and I got close on an Oberon clone, I would just buy and drink Oberon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it would have to be perfect. So
the expectations are high. The bar is set high.
That's why that's number one on my list, even though I'll probably never actually try and make it. So how about you?
What's number two? My number two... and this goes back to my end of the spectrum, how I dream brews and everything. But I have tried twice now for this, but I want to make a true cucumber kolsch that works and doesn't go bad on me. So backstory, I have made this twice, and both times after the initial tap and initial love of the beer, the next time I try it, it goes sour on me. And I know why. It's the cucumber. And yeah. I try filtering it. This is the only time I filter anything on my beers because I want to get all that cucumberness out for gunk and everything, because like the seeds and the little bit of guts in there, I want to get that out. But I've tried twice and failed twice. And I just want to make this worse because I love kolschs. Kolschs are so easy to drink. Dragon Me near me does a kolsch called Kaiser's Kolsch. And it's the simplest beer to drink.
It's one. There's something. We made a kolsch this summer that I was pretty happy with. But it is. It's like such a light, wonderful, easy beer. But it doesn't taste at all like a lager. Like
no,
it's really,
not at all.
It really has its own like wonderful character. Yeah.
Yes,
it is just a gorgeous beer.
And the reason I want to do cucumber with it, because I do a lot of gin and tonic, especially in the summer, and. The one thing that a lot of people don't realize is slice up a piece of cucumber, put it in there. It just freshens it up just a tiny, tiny bit. And it makes it easy to drink. And not that you're going to drink down it real quick, but like it just makes it a better summer drink.
Now, have you ever tried just tossing a cucumber in a kolsch?
I mean, I probably could like try that.
Like you do for your favorite drink of all time, drum roll, Pimm's Cup.
Pimm's Cup, yes. I knew you were going to bring that up. I love that having that. And that's one thing actually someone, when I asked for help on this one online with my brewery stuff, and someone actually told me, and I've seen this, I think actually Dark Horse does this. We were talking about Dark Horse on a previous, the last one we just recorded.
It's another Michigan, Marshall, Michigan.
So they, at beer festivals, I've seen this, they will do this whole elaborate setup just in general, but like their tap system will have these containers that the beer will flow through before it goes out, and they put different flavor, like different things in there.
Oh my God, that's genius.
And someone told me that I could do that with cucumber. So then
it's like super fresh.
Super fresh, and I could change out the cucumber as it's going bad.
Dude, honestly, I wonder, that might be like, dude, that might be it. Because yeah, because that's even another thing is, okay, now the beer lasts, it's not souring on you, but does the cucumber still taste fresh?
And that's the thing, even the guy who told me about this, and I can't remember his name, I apologize for it, but
you know who you are, Chris.
You know who you are. he told me that the only thing is, like, you have to, like, if you're going to set that up, it has to be something like you're going to be continuously pouring beers through it, because to change it out, disconnect everything, and put new cucumbers, and then put all back together and float through beers. If you're just going to do a couple beers a night, it's not worth it.
Dude, I wonder, though, because, so, there are some taps you can, like, we were talking about nitro. There's, like, a special nitro nozzle that you can kind of, like, screw on. I wonder if you could rig up something that you could just screw on, and then when you're done with it, at the end of a day, you just screw it off and clean it, and the next time you just screw it on again.
I just feel like that's too much work for it.
Well, it might be, but like, you're not just gonna leave cucumbers in there for a month while
It's like, but like he said, but like, if he does the same process, not with cucumbers, other things, when he's having like a bunch of people over and they're gonna be drinking beers all night. Oh, it's like a special thing for parties. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
So, and there's a few other things I'm gonna try as well. Just to make this work. But it's been eluding me for so long now.
I hope you get it right, because I've had that beer in its prime, and it is like really, really refreshing and wonderful.
Yeah.
The fresh cucumber Kolsch.
All right. You got one more, right?
I've got one more.
We'll do you one more, and then we'll take a quick break.
So my next one, and again, like most of these are, you know, if you're filling out your shopping list for groceries, a lot of these are ones that you can find fairly easily at stores, at least depending on where you live. So this one is one of those. It's the Abbey of Leffe Belgian Blonde. Like Leffe. I don't know if it's like Leffe, or I'm probably saying it wrong, but I call it's it like
Heffy and
Abbey of Leffe. Call it that. I love Belgian ales. I love the, if you've ever had one, you probably like know and can recall that kind of banana, clove, estuary flavor that Belgian yeast contributes. I really, really love it. I like stronger ones like Belgian triple, darker like Belgian doubles, but there's something special about Belgian blonde where it's like it's lower, relatively lower ABV. Like for a Belgian, it's like I think in like the 5 or 6 range. And it's just kind of simple. But it really just showcases, like, it's a beer built to showcase what Belgian yeast tastes like.
Yes.
and triple kind of does that, but triple will also just smash you because they're, 8 to 10% ABV.
Oh, yeah.
I've had some other Belgian blondes. Abbey of Leffe is just it's a gorgeous beer. And for me, it's like, if I was trying to show someone what Belgian beer tastes like, this is the beer I would give them. So
yeah,
I will be trying to brew a Belgian blonde someday. Belgians in general are a style I'd like to mess around with. I love this beer.
I did a Belgian once when I first started brewing, and that's the sugar. Like I talked about this, the stout I'm making right now, I actually had to put into a blow off valve because I didn't expect it to be, but the Belgian triple, because Belgians are usually a little stronger with the different contents, especially a triple, I automatically put it into a blow off valve, which for those who don't know, blow off valve, it literally is a giant cup of sandy water or vodka, depending on how much vodka you have. And instead of going into a bubbler and you see all the little bubbles coming, you take the tube into this giant glass or bucket or whatever, and so it bubbles in there. Yeah.
As the fermenting beer gets foamy, it has a place to
go,
to spit to. And yeah, I'm actually changing that up pretty vigorous. We just made our like probably strongest beer yet, and it was about a 7%er. And even that compared to like the ones we've been making and like the 4 to 5%, it was crazy just how the blow off cup.
Yeah.
Or like I have like a Stein. It was like full of gunk. It was gross.
I'd say if you look over there at the south, it's still fermenting in the back room over there. It's honestly like it is a second cup I actually had to use because I had to switch out to a bigger cup than I originally put in there. And it just the bubbles just keep coming. Yeah. And we were putting a a treadmill together in that same room. And I told my wife, put on some music, because all I kept hearing was that exact noise right there. So
just to return to the beer real quick before we go to break, is that one that you've ever had, Abbey of Luft?
I have not. I've never heard of them, and I don't think I've had a Blonde Belgium.
Okay. You know what? It's an excuse for me to buy some, because yeah, we get them at our Meijer. They're not super hard to find. Meijer, but for people out of Michigan, is our like grocery store. Yeah. It's a Michigan brand, but yeah, they're not hard to find. I am going to pour you one though, because they're delicious. It's like a triple that won't knock you out.
I mean, I that's the one thing about triples I don't like, is that I love the flavor. It's so good. But like after two, I'm like, ooh, okay. Yeah. I feel that.
Yeah.
All right. So let's take a quick break. We'll come back to our last two each. So our last four altogether. And then I think you have a couple honorable mentions, and I think I might come up with a couple too, actually, top of my head. Yeah. I'm thinking about some more brewers that I would love to have.
Rock on.
All right.
All right. Cheers.
Hi there, I'm David.
And I'm Kate.
And we're the hosts of another Zelda podcast.
There are so many good podcasts out there, and some of them in particular concern The Legend of Zelda.
That's right, Kate, and we are another one of them. That is actually the name of our show, Another Zelda Podcast.
And in our show in particular, we talk about some of our favorite dungeons, characters, boss battles. We have top 10 lists.
Yeah, we do deep dives on game design and production aspects of the different Zelda games.
And we talk about our own experiences. We do some review episodes, talk about our challenges, our struggles, and our victories.
That's right. You know, really just almost anything that has to do with Zelda, we like to talk about it. A new episode comes out every other Friday, and you can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and YouTube.
And you can also check out our episodes on our website, anotherzeldapodcast.com.
That's right. All right, we will see you there.
Okay, bye.
Hey, this is TC.
And this is Jim from the Studio Demands It podcast.
Where every episode we take a demand from a hypothetical studio,
which could be you,
and challenge ourselves to conceptualize, pitch, and craft a film based on the stipulations
or the demands
we are given. We talk about movies all the time. Particularly, we complain about the choices made in the films we've seen.
We're nerds like that.
And, of course, like any good nerd does, we automatically assume that we could do better.
Even with the demands and restrictions that clearly must have been put on by a production.
So head on over to StudioDemandsIt.com and listen to our previous library of episodes. Our library of previous episodes. Our precious library, Jim. Our library of precious episodes.
You're a pirate, Smeagol.
Okay. So head on over to StudioDemandsIt.com to listen to our library of episodes.
And submit your demand for a future episode, too.
So go do that.
Okay, bye.
Okay, end of ad.
And we are back. So, Ryan, we have each got two beers left. You're up. Tell us about it.
So, my all-time favorite beer, and you know this beer. I drink it every single time we go up to the Lake Cottage.
I knew this was going to be it.
This is one of my all-time favorite beers, and this is probably, again, goes along with the Guinness. It's just the darker beers, even though it's not really a dark beer. It is called Negro Modelo. It is the same brewery that does Modelo Especial. It is a Mexican brewery that comes up, and this is a dark lager, pretty much. So
yeah, it's kind of what, like, well, I mean, it's sort of its own thing, right?
It's very, it's like, if you, I've read that
Mexican lagers were like inspired by Vienna lager initially, but like anymore, they're like really kind of their own thing. They kind of like dark Mexican lagers.
Yes,
and really, Negro Modelo is like just in a league of its own.
It is. The closest one I could think that comes to it is probably either, what is it? Dos Equis Dark Amber.
Dos Equis Amber, yeah.
It gets close to it.
But that's definitely not as dark.
Yeah. And the other one that gets kind of close to it is called Bohemia, but it's really, really hard to find. Like, you probably, I'll be surprised if you actually know it. The reason I know it is because I worked in Mexican restaurants.
I think I've heard the name because you've mentioned it before.
If I see that beer, I will snag it, just because it's not like a really, really good beer. But when I find it, it's just
so
like,
rare.
Oh, I gotta have it.
It was like Yingling here for a while.
Exactly.
Like, because we couldn't get it in Michigan. Yeah. It's like, it's
still
fine.
Still can't.
It's I thought that it's here now.
Nope. We were one of the states that they were going to offer it to. Like, we were in like a raffle or something, and then they went somewhere else with
honestly,
it.
Honestly, I kind of prefer it like that, because I feel like if it came here, we would discover that it's like really just fine, and it was the scarcity that made
I apologize to all Pennsylvania people for
who
his
knows?
Remark.
Who knows? But like, it's kind of like, I wonder that about Oberon. Like, if this was available year-round, like, would it be as good? That's maybe something we can cover in another episode, seasonal beers and scarcity and stuff. But
yeah, no.
Anyway.
Negro Modelo is like, we do a family vacation, all like seven of us. Like
the
seven
in-laws.
Of us going. The in-laws.
The
and all us.
In-laws.
Yep. And we all go to the beach and we all kind of casually drink throughout the day. And that's like the one beer I bring every single time.
Oh, yeah. I've started bringing it because I'm always super jealous when you have it and I don't. It really is. I'm noticing a theme here with beers that you really like, that it's the like shockingly drinkable for the color.
Yes.
Type beers. Like, yeah, dark styles that are just really smooth and easy to knock back.
And of course, and this is my kind of sin for beers, because I know most people do it. I never put lime in it. Just like I never put lime in any
That's
other
not
beers.
A sin. That is...
Some people look at it as a sin, like Corona or something like that.
Okay, well, yeah, but you need a lime and a Corona for it to be palatable.
I mean,
whereas, like, a Modelo is perfect on its own.
No, agreed, 100%. But there are, like, when you get that at a, if you go to a restaurant and order that on tap or in a bottle, like, they'll put a lime with it still. And this is like, no,
I
don't need this.
I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's weird. I've never ordered it at a restaurant. It'd probably be delicious on tap.
It's very delicious on tap. There's a place north of you guys in Fenton that does it, and they have it on tap there.
Well, we're gushing now.
Yeah.
So let's
anyways,
move on.
Yes.
So,
go. What is your next one?
Modelo is one that I love too. That is actually for me also a beer I would love to have a good clone of.
Yeah.
It's delicious. So the next one for me is a beer called Kentucky Bourbon Barrel Ale. It's made by Lexington Brewing Company. So it is recognizable if it distributes to your state. It's got like kind of a, like a pony
horse head. Yeah.
Like a horse head, but it's like a horse head that's like, you know, on a wood backdrop or whatever. So this for me is the like platonic ideal of bourbon barrel beers. And it actually kind of ties into what we were just talking about with Modelo and Guinness, where it's like a lot of bourbon barreled beers are like famously, at least around here, New Holland Dragon's Milk.
Yes, Dragon's Milk.
It is like syrup. Like it's...
I can do one. That's
it. It straight up fills you up like you're eating bread. Like it's so thick.
Yes.
And this one actually is not... It's not... I think it is a fairly strong beer, ABV-wise, but it's not like a dark stout. It is an Irish red, actually.
Oh, really?
So the Irish red is the base style, and then they bourbon barrel age it. And that for me is, oh my God, it is so good. It's like, again, kind of like I said for like Belgian Blonde or the Abbey of Left Belgian Blonde, it was like, it's a really nice showcase of like the Belgian yeast character. I think because like there's none of that like super roasty stout flavor, you can kind of like appreciate the bourbon barrel flavor a little more in this beer than you can in like a bourbon barrel aged stout. Which so, I for the record do like those beers too, but like this one is just something else because it balances that really rich flavor that barreling adds with like a really crisp drinkability.
So I just did a quick Google search on this. So It is pretty strong. It's almost as strong as that stout I'm making. 8.2%.
Okay, yeah.
And actually, I just kind of scrolled a little bit down. They have a ton of things to do.
Yeah.
They do like more beverages.
The Lexington Brewing Company has a bunch of the specific ones. They have a barrel aged stout, which is very good.
Yes.
They also have a vanilla barrel aged cream ale.
That's the one I have right now.
Which is really yummy. Yes. And then I know they do some fruited stuff.
They have an IPA, actually.
Really?
Yes.
I've never seen the IPA. Yeah, I think they've expanded a lot recently. So I love their stuff. And actually, if you're ever in Lexington, they have an associated distillery called Town Branch. And Town Branch makes like some of the best bourbon that I've had. I love their bourbon. When we went down there, you couldn't get it in Michigan. You can now, and I'm really excited. same thing with their beer. Like when we, when we went to Lexington, when I had this for the first time, we came back with like a trunk full of all of their stuff. We spent like hundreds of dollars there because we're like, when are we ever going to be in Lexington again? And then now, you know, it's like a year or two later, you can get it here. And that's really,
I think,
great.
You actually got that for like a Christmas gift for me.
I did.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think actually I kept the bottle and I use it for mead now. So, cause it's such a cool bottle. It's just a nice square.
You're talking about the Town Branch Bourbon.
Yeah. Town Branch Bourbon. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. A little off topic, but
it is a really cool bottle. And actually I really like the art on their beers as well.
Yeah.
They've got good artists.
Yep.
That's something that's come up a few times on this podcast.
You seem to like that kind of stuff.
Yes. I you know that I do. Right. Okay. Last one.
So my last one, it's kind of more of a style than it is an actual brew. Okay. So mine is, I want to do a smash beer, but specifically,
we're going to do it.
I know we are going to do it, but I'm going to add to that because I knew we were going to do it.
Of course.
It's not that way. I want to do a smash beer with hops that I grew.
Oh,
see, not, yeah, you thought I was going to go with that's really your cool ingredient.
Yeah.
But I would love to, cause like in our next house for my wife and I want to be able to grow hops somewhere. And I know that how to do it. I kind of did some research. I talked to a few people that do it right now. And I got a few like little tricks and everything, but I'd love to grow some kind of hop in Michigan,
and make a smash batch of beer, you wouldn't have to grow a ton.
No.
Well, so I've, there's actually this Brewlosophy episode.
Shout out to Brewlosophy.
Shout out. Honestly, they're like, I love that podcast. They were one of my like kind of formative references as when, at least this kind of round of us brewing, once I sort of took over recipe development and stuff. So they have one on, it's called Wet Hop Beers, and they do it with Yakima Valley hops, which is like close to where they are. The Yakima Valley grows like a ton of probably the breadbasket for hops in California. And so like a wet hop beer is like, you use them like right off the vine. Mm-hmm. And it's a really good episode if that's something that you're ever looking to do. And it same thing, like after the episode ended, I was like, oh my God, I want to do that. I want to do that so bad. And like in that region, they all pick the hops and all the breweries over there start doing these like fresh wet hop beers. So it's like, it's almost like a festival. Yeah. Sounds really cool. It'd be a neat thing to travel to and see.
Yeah.
But yeah, that would be awesome. Let me ask you, right now, gun to your head, what variety of hop, if you could pick any, would you grow?
I know there's a part of me that wants to say Citra, but I know it's a bad hop to use for it.
Why is that? It just doesn't.
We've talked about this where like it's such an intense flavor that it's kind of overpowers.
You know, I thought that until I learned that Zombie Dust only uses Citra.
Really?
And like that,
I didn't know that.
That beer is like so delicious. Actually, and that's another one on my honorable mentions is Zombie Dust. And like that has caused me to have to walk that back. Like, okay, maybe you can make a Citra beer that tastes like multi-dimensional.
I'm going to stick with the same, like a similar family. Like I actually used this in my hazy IPA that I did, Galaxy Hops. Oh, it's got okay, like cool, a more tropical citrus, so like more of a pineapple-y flavor to it. That would be, if I had to choose one, I would say Galaxy. 100%, right, cool. Hands down.
Yeah, and we do want, I've wanted to do an episode. We haven't, you know, found the time to kind of schedule the brew day out, but we've talked about doing an episode where we each make a smash beer with a different hop and then try blending them and stuff. We'll probably do that sometime.
Yeah.
And I guess, sorry, for anyone not familiar with the acronym, that smash means single malt and single hop. So just a really simple beer. You use one malt and one type of hops. Usually they're designed to kind of help showcase the characteristics of the ingredients you're using, since there's like no, there's no other stuff that's kind of muddle the flavors.
Yeah. I would imagine being slightly difficult to do because like we were talking about on a previous episode where, it was on that, it was the 1v1 that we did where you were talking about how light beers don't have anything to hide behind, but when you do a lot of different flavors, you can hide behind a certain flavor and it'll protect you a little bit. Yeah. When you do a smash beer, one malt and one hop, like you can't hide behind anything either.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I'm curious about it. I'm also curious about kind of like what to, I've heard like you can use Vienna malt, and that's pretty good because it kind of will produce sort of like an ambery pale ale color. And I've heard that I think you used Maris Otter for your New England.
Yeah.
I've heard that Maris Otter is a fantastic one to use for it too, because it's just it's like characterful pale malt.
And for those who are not fully into grain, they do extract a Maris Otter actually.
Oh, cool.
So I think actually I did use.
So maybe that's what we should do. Maybe we should just do Maris Otter, because then that'd be super simple for you. You get to skip the steep entirely. All right. Yeah, that's a really good one. I love that. That's like a sweet. I feel like that's, you know, like we've talked about before, kind of like, you know, because like, you know, like Mallory in her book, we've talked about like everybody, like most people get the idea at some time, like, hey, I'm going to write a book.
But yeah.
I feel like anyone who brews for long enough has this idea like, dude, it would be so cool to grow my own hops and brew with them.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I feel it like takes work to do it. I hope that you do that. I would love to for you to grow hops and for me to brew a beer with them. So if you do them, we'll do some wet hop beers. We can each put our own spin on them.
Yeah,
that
would
be awesome.
All right, what's your last one? And we'll go into ours.
My final one is it's called the Lindeman's Creek. It's another Belgian one. It's
okay.
So it's like a cherry lambic beer. So if you've ever seen like Lindeman's lambics, they've got like the peach, the cherry. I think they do raspberry, and then they do like an apple.
Yeah.
And so a lambic, just a little bit of background for anyone not familiar, is like a really very specific style of sour beer.
Mm-hmm.
They're crazy low alcohol, like 2-3% or something. I think.
Yeah, like what you're drinking.
Like, yeah, like the Irish, this iteration of the Irish complexion.
Yes.
And they are just delicious. Oh my God. Like they come in those like big bomber bottles. So Haley and I use them kind of like a bottle of wine. Like we'll use it. We'll like buy it for like special occasions to celebrate stuff. And they're all really good. They might not sound familiar, but if you go to like the kind of bomber section of most like decent
beer stores. Those are the big bottles, stores. Right? The big bottles?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, the bigger bottles. You will find Lindeman's at most like decent beer shops. It's not hard to find. It's a Belgian style, but like the reason that I, first of all, it's just like, the Lindeman's cherry, the Creek, is just bar none the best sour beer I've ever had. It is delicious. It's got this deep, beautiful red color.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't taste anything like beer, but holy crap, is it good. But part of the reason that it's on here too is it's like this pedestal of you just can't do it. You know, like it's because lambics, first of all, they age for years.
Yeah,
they actually age.
Well, sours in general, they age for years, don't they?
Yeah, there are faster methods like kettle souring and stuff. Yeah. But yeah, you're right. A lot of sours age in the barrel for multiple years. So that's like hurdle one.
Yes.
Hurdle two is that, strictly speaking, in the same sense that like Bordeaux needs to be made from like Bordeaux region grapes and like bourbon needs to be brewed in or made in America. Like lambic is a region of Belgium, and they traditionally open ferment these using the like natural yeast and bacteria in the air. So technically you can't make one if you're not there.
Well, you know that this means you got to make a Michigan version of it with Michigan cherries.
Well, yeah, sure. But like this isn't just the cherries. It's like it's open fermented with like the microorganisms in the air in that climate. So you can, now you can buy lambic cultures from yeast suppliers. So that part's not impossible to overcome, but it still adds a little bit. And then on top of that, they use these aged hops that are like it sounds moldy to me. It sounds gross, but like they age hops for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
So they basically lose all of their bitterness, but they retain apparently their like kind of antimicrobial properties.
Okay.
So they still act as a preservative.
Yeah.
So it's just all of this stuff. Like we will probably try and make a cherry sour at some point. That's something I would love to do. But I don't know that I will ever be up for like just jumping over all the hurdles required to make a lambic style beer.
I was going to say, there's still one more too with any sour, is that whatever you use to like ferment or boil or anything else, like those are tainted forever.
Right. Yeah. You need like souring equipment. Yeah.
You need like a set carboy for it.
Yeah. So the one exception, and this is probably what we would do, is a kettle sour, where you basically mash your grains. Then you pitch your souring agents, mm-hmm. and you let them ferment in your brew kettle for like a day or two till you get to the right pH. Then you boil and murder everything. and then if you want, apparently like not everybody adds hops to sour beers, but like, mm-hmm. then you could like, you boil, you add your hops, you do the rest of it. You ferment with yeast and like, but because you've boiled it, and it's just been in like a metal kettle, everything mm-hmm. dies. And so you don't contaminate any of your equipment. So
that's good.
That's what Haley and I are going to do if we make a sour, and we probably will. But yeah, like I said, I'd love to have a good cherry sour. I don't think I will ever try and make like a traditional lambic though, just because it sounds like a pain.
Well, it's like in champagne that's not from Champagne. Like,
yeah. And that's the other thing is like, yeah, it would never be like all the way traditional. We could get most of the way there. So I'm content to just buy it and use it to celebrate because it is just delicious.
You just got
to
change the name slightly. I don't know. You don't watch Schitt's Creek, but Schitt's Creek, they get champagne, but it's not from Champagne. So they call it Zanpange. It's with a Z instead of a CH.
Okay. Yeah, that reference goes way over my head. But
those who like the show.
So we could call it like Schlambic or something. Schlambic. Like
Schlambic. There it is. Done.
Like, doesn't it just seem like the idea, imagine barrel aging something for 2 years and then it sucks.
I know.
You know, like what a risk.
I know.
So that's part of it too. But anyhow, so yeah, that's mine. So why don't we had said we might kind of do some honorables. So I'm just going to sort of flip, as we discussed earlier, you and I kind of approached this prompt a little differently, mm-hmm. and you did name kind of Modelo and Guinness as two beers that you would love a good clone of, but do you have any others that you just wanted to shout out that like are beers you like consider just really, really stellar that you would love to be able to make a beer similar to that?
So the first one we actually talked about earlier, which was the hard seltzers. I would like to make my own version, a better version of hard seltzers that aren't super, super sweet and everything else like that. The next one actually is a local brew here in Michigan. Actually, like I could run there if I really wanted to. It's from Dragon Mead. It's called Ring of Fire. And it is a pepper ale. And they put
like,
in...
like Serrano jalapeno.
Serrano, right? Habaneros.
Yeah, like
jalapenos.
That kind of pepper.
Yes, those peppers. And it's not overly powerful in spiciness, but you still get that nice warming feeling out of it.
It is an amazing beer. And it's one of those, they don't bottle it, so you can only get it at the tap house.
And they don't always have it either.
Yeah. Oh,
it's man. Like every it's, time I go there, it's like
me
I always
one.
I always get
me
one every time
drive
I go
there.
It's just a little further down
this.
And then get whatever.
I know. I actually need to get my CO2 tank refilled there.
Yeah.
But I just didn't want to do it too.
But I do have a base recipe for this. I'm not going to give anything away because we're actually working on like a little thing for this one. I won't give anything away.
Okay.
But
sounds like it could be a great episode topic if it works out.
It will be actually. The other one, the third one I have here, it's a little bit of a knock on the beer, but like it's true. I want to make a better version of Corona. Corona.
Define that. Isn't just like any other beer a better version of Corona?
I mean, yes. But I want that light, that Mexican lager, but I want it to taste better than Corona. Like I said earlier, Guinness was one of my first loves.
We are kind of Corona haters, aren't we?
Well, no.
I hate Corona too.
I said Guinness.
The first beer I ever had.
Guinness was my first love. My second love was Corona. And then I realized, no, this is awful.
One of these things.
Exactly. So I want to make a better version of it. I have no idea where to start on it.
But okay. So isn't like, is like Modelo Especial, like, a better version of like there are
it's
other light
slightly,
Mexican
yeah.
lagers.
There
like,
are
what,
other
is, what is it about Corona that you want to keep?
Well, I guess when you put it that way, I guess I just want to make a Modelo.
You just
or want to
make like a
or
wonderful,
Tecate,
like a
or
wonderful
like that.
Light Mexican lager.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So like Tecate is a really good one. Sol is really good. Landshark is not that good, but I know. But yeah, I would like to make like a Mexican lager. I think it'll be a nice beer to try.
Yeah. You can make one for Cinco.
I could make one. We could actually do that.
I've thought about I'm just going to give you this idea, so you're free to steal it. But I've thought about making one and calling it Cinco de Cuatro.
From Arrested Development.
Yeah. Yes. Wouldn't that be like an awesome
idea? That would be awesome.
If you make it, I've got a label for you.
Already. I might do that.
Yeah. So for me, real quick, other ones I'll mention. Anchor Steam came up in our California Common episode.
Yep. So you already did that one.
Zombie Dust, I already mentioned. Modelo, Guinness. You and I love a lot of the same beers. The other one I'll mention is Great Lakes Brewing, Edmund Fitzgerald Porter.
Oh, you told me about this one.
I consider to be like the perfect American porter. We'll cover it. We're going to be doing an episode on porters and stouts coming up, and you know I'm going to bring this one.
Yes.
But love that beer. And then another Dragon Mead beer, Crown Jewels IPA.
Ooh, yes.
Slash like Hopsecutioner by Terrapin. Hopsecutioner IPA by Terrapin. They're both kind of like maltier and stronger, like ABV wise IPAs that to me just have this really wonderful balance. Mm-hmm. So I actually just made a beer.
Yeah, I was going to say, you just made this.
That's kind of trying to be in that wheelhouse.
Yeah.
But those are two of my very favorite IPAs. I really just love that kind of balance. So in terms of like the way that you thought about things, if there were other styles that I really, really want to nail, the two that come to mind actually are just off the top of my head are a Belgian Double, which I've wanted to mess around with, but not a lot of other people in our family like really love them. So I'm nervous. I'd have at least help there, but I'm nervous I'd have to drink a lot of it myself.
Yeah, you definitely would, because I don't think Haley would drink it at all.
She probably won't even like test drink it.
No.
And then actually the other one I was gonna say was like a pepper beer, like Ring of Fire.
Yeah,
I really love that idea. Like spicy beer is a huge love or hate thing.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I love it. Ring of Fire is delicious. Odd Side, also out of Michigan, makes their like Mayan Mocha Stout.
Ooh,
which
yeah,
is like,
but yeah,
so it's like a stout and then they add chocolate and habanero pepper to it.
Mm-hmm.
And oh man, they're so good.
Yeah,
I love them both. So yeah, those would probably be the first two like stylistically that come to mind. Mm-hmm. For me. So yeah, this was fun.
This was really cool.
I don't know about y'all, but this has just made me want to go and drop like $100 at a beer store.
I know. I feel like everyone listening is just going to be like, I hate you guys. I now want to buy all these beers.
We don't have any room in our fridge, so I can't.
I don't either, honestly.
Yeah. But
the beer fridge in the garage is full.
I want every single one of these now. So, you know, speaking of which though, you know, there will come a day when I will need to stock my fridge full of some more beer for a party. And so if you have a favorite beer, a beer that you consider perfect, or if you're a brewer, a beer that you would love to either have made or love to make someday,
mm-hmm.
Tell us about it. We'd love to hear about it. I am not adverse to adding some additional beers to my
There's always room in the fridge. We always make room in the fridge.
Just buy another fridge.
Exactly. See, you need to do that still.
Yeah. Similarly, if you have any funny stories about kind of particularly awful drinking experiences, we'd love to hear about those as well.
Always. Always good for a laugh.
And so aside from that, you know, if you are enjoying the show, we would love if you would leave us a rating wherever you listen to podcasts. That helps people discover the show. And if you'd like to get in contact with us, you can do that. I'm going to stop spelling the name because if you're listening to the podcast,
you should know how to spell it,
but it's all one word, at Brewthers-in-Law on Twitter. That's our Twitter handle. And then you can also find us on our website at Brewthers-in-Law.com. Again, all one word. Ryan, there, I believe, are some additional places people can find you.
Yep. Mostly Twitter. I'm on Twitter by myself, which is Rambo Coon. And anything brewery related that I brew is at Wise Old Owls Brew. And I do a blog as well on the side, just a few things here and there. And that is hopbrewandblog.com. So a few things on there you can read about different brewing adventures and other beer styles comparisons.
What? All right. Well, until next time, we hope you guys have a wonderful couple weeks before we see you again. And until then,
cheers.